Good evening, ladies, gentlemen, theys, and gays. This is The Real Pineapple. This is your humble host, Hunter, here. Hope you're having a great night, day, weekend, whenever you're checking this out. Of course, you would start doing this crap now. Let's see if I can remember. There we go. Good evening, everyone. Happy Sunday. oh, what a great Sunday today is. This is your humble host, Hunter. Happy WrestleMania Saturday evening. And let's just get into this. So I just finished WrestleMania Night 2. I'm going to go ahead and go through some of my notes here. When I talked about Mania Night 1, which was last night, I there was some stuff I really liked. The Rhea Ripley Becky Lynch match I thought was awesome, and then the Gunther Sami Zayn Intercontinental Championship match I thought was really well done. Outside of that, I was kind of on Mania, to be honest. I think I gave it like a B minus for the night overall. But I did say heading into tonight that I thought night two had a chance to be better than night one. And what I will say is I was 1,000% correct. Night two of Mania was definitely better than night one. And I gotta say, a much better night two than what night one gave us. So let's just jump in. So to kick off the night, we had Seth Rollins taking on Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight Championship. Let's address this right out the gate. So what up, Afternoon Tune? Sorry, as I type here. So I was going to do this stream tomorrow, but to be honest, I really want to get super stoned and play video games before I start applying for jobs on Tuesday. So I'm doing this now. But going into tonight, we had a pretty big surprise to start off the night. We had Stephanie McMahon show up. Stephanie McMahon went ahead and, of course, stepped down from the board of directors after the accusations about her dad, Vince McMahon, came out. And I will say too, just again, I'm not gonna stop bringing this up. Vince McMahon has been accused of all these sexual assault allegations, and he worked for WWE. He founded WWE, and there are still people, including someone that was called out tonight in Bruce Pritchard, who were, you know, Vince's yes men. So just because Vince is gone doesn't mean that the infrastructure that he built is. So you're going to have people like me continuously bringing this up until shit changes. So, you know, you'll have those morons say you're hating and all that, but this man allegedly ran a fucking sex ring throughout his company for decades on end. So yeah, I'm not going to be quiet about that. And to have Stephanie McMahon be the one to come out and say that this is a new era, this is the Paul Levesque era, it felt really gross, to be quite frank. It was one of those things I just went, oh God, really? Like, you couldn't call this, I don't know what you'd call it, but you had to call it the Paul Levesque era. It, even for WWE, it's pretty egotistical to have her be the one to say it. And I get that they're married. I understand. I know that will be the excuse that a lot of people use, but yeah, it was something that I just kind of rolled my eyes at, to put it mildly. But hey, you know, some people eat that shit up and think that it's great and whatever. But with that said, we went ahead and got into Mania proper, which started off with Drew McIntyre against Seth Rollins. I really dug McIntyre's performance. He had this band of people playing the bagpipes and these guys holding up swords as he walked through them. They like put their swords down. It was a really cool entrance for McIntyre, a guy who I think is very underrated and really carried WWE through the pandemic era, as far as when they were in lockdown and everything. So I give Drew McIntyre all the credit in the world. I've been a fan of his for years. And I think that people forget that when he left WWE originally and went out on the indies and was, you know, wrestling in PWG and NOAH and wrestling in the UK and wrestling in Impact Wrestling or a TNA, the man made a name for himself the hard way and then came back a bigger star than when he initially left, you know, transform his body and learn new skills and became a better wrestler. So I give Drew McIntyre world for that. Seth Rollins, man. Say what you will about Seth Rollins. He's done pretty much everything he can to go ahead and feel like a big deal as far as a champion and go ahead and make that new championship that was created because Roman Reigns was never there to defend the actual championship. He did everything he could to make that secondary championship feel important. So I give Seth Rollins all the credit in the world. Seth Rollins was coming in with a injury because Roman Reigns on The Rock fucked his knee up last night. And so that went ahead and worked into the story. Seth Rollins' outfit was fucking wonderful. It was like this like blue and white, like peacock type outfit. Fucking wonderful. Seth Rollins' drip is alive and well. But him and McIntyre had a really, really great match. CM Punk came out for commentary. Okay, so I do have to bring this up because I tweeted this out for those of you who follow me on Twitter at jhunter real pineapple. That's R-E-E-L pineapple, by the way. I'm a big CM Punk fan. I've been a CM Punk fan since I was a teenager. I think that CM Punk at points has been the most important person in wrestling. I think at points that CM Punk has been one of the most brilliant minds in wrestling. I think that CM Punk can still be an asset in not just wrestling but in WWE. I think CM Punk has a lot that he can give to the business. With all that said, I cannot remember the last time that I thought CM Punk sucked this badly in a wrestling capacity. He felt off on commentary. He felt kind of too cool for school. He felt aloof, and that's not a term I would normally associate with Punk. There was a point he dropped this line that straight up made my skin crawl and made me want to curl up in a ball. After McIntyre came out, he goes, "Well, he might have bagpipes, but I have a pipe bomb." And for someone who says that they hate the term pipe bomb so much, for him to go ahead and shoehorn that in, the tweet that I sent out, I was like, it's like seeing the person who plays Mickey Mouse at Disneyland with their head off and they're smoking a cigarette. Like, to see what CM Punk is turning into potentially, it feels like he's becoming a parody of himself. Like, he's almost becoming, that's hard. He's almost becoming the Al Pacino of wrestling. And I hate to say that shit, but if this is the CM Punk we're getting, and I would like to point out before all you WWE fans jump on my ass, the promo that he cut him, McIntyre, and Rollins like 3 weeks ago, kind of that three-way promo, that was fun. That was engaging. It felt like Punk actually was, you know, hyped for that. And to see and hear him on commentary, it just felt like a completely different dude. It felt like a total 180. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope that this was just a really, really off night for Punk. But at the same time, if your off night is going to be on the biggest stage of the year, like one of the biggest stages in, like the biggest stage in WWE, let's call it what it is. If this is the time you choose to go ahead and have a bad night, then I don't know, man. You might need to go ahead and look in the mirror and see if you can still do this shit. But I was flabbergasted how bad Punk was. I was really, I couldn't believe it. Getting to the match proper, McIntyre straight out the box hit Rollins with a Claymore for very close two count. Like, they actually had me on that. I got to give him credit. Like he immediately nailed Seth with it. So that really set up the rest of the match. Rollins ended up hitting a pedigree on the floor, but remember he hurt his knee last night. So that was like causing him damage as well. So there's a lot of good back and forth, including a stomp later on, like right after that, which barely got him a two count. Kept going back and forth, and I really dug the way that the match was. I really dug the way that the match was paced. They did a really great job with it. But in the end, Rollins ended up getting hit with the Claymore. I think it was his second, or I think it was the third Claymore, actually. Yeah, it was the third Claymore. And went ahead and became the World Heavyweight Champion. It was a great match. I would say it's a solid. I'd give it a solid A to start off the night. It was the perfect match to go ahead and open night two. Very similar to the position that Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch were in last night. They knew exactly what sort of mood to go ahead and set, and the crowd was a lot more awake. It looked like it was warmer, because I think it was like 51 last night. It's like 64, I think, tonight, and that clearly made a difference. So credit to the crowd for really showing up and making this feel like a big fight. So yeah, McIntyre wins, and so as we're sitting there, McIntyre goes ahead and stands up on the table right in front of CM Punk and is, you know, gloating, talking shit. And then CM Punk goes ahead and trips him when McIntyre turns his back on him. So he ends up getting tripped, and then Punk takes his arm brace off and just bashes McIntyre like five or six times in the head with it. And then all of a sudden we hear the Judgment Day music. And I was like, oh no. And then Damian Priest, Senior Money in the Bank, came out and hit McIntyre with the briefcase, hit the South of Heaven, and became the new World Heavyweight Champion. So here's the thing. I have to bundle this all together. It's a B+ for me, because, okay, here's the thing. Damian Priest has had multiple chances to go ahead and cash in. And I think that the WWE has done kind of a shit job of making Priest look like a goof as far as holding the Money in the Bank briefcase. That's always been one of my gripes with the Money in the Bank. It feels like once someone wins Money in the Bank, they kind of go, we can book them however we want. And I think that they had not done a great job of booking Damian Priest. But with that said, I've been a fan of Damian Priest since he was Punishment Martinez. I'm such a fan of his, and I was really happy for him. It coming at the expense of Drew's moment, I wasn't crazy about that. I honestly would have rather him lost tomorrow night, since the Raw after WrestleMania is one of those rambunctious type things. I wanted more of a moment for Drew, and I wasn't crazy about that. So it's a B+, but with the caveat that I'm really happy for Damian Priest, and I really am happy for him. But I was agitated by that. So I'd give it a B+. Moving on, we got the Pride versus the Final Testament in a street fight. Killian Cross, Akeem and Rezar, accompanied by Paul Ellering, the legendary Paul Ellering, taking on Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford. So let me get this out of the way too, real quick. I thought that the commentary tonight, there are points where it was good, but I was so agitated by the commentary. I think having a three-man booth, I think having Corey Graves and Pat McAfee in particular, they're just so abrasive and loud. And and very annoying. I think them together is almost like a Team Rocket level of annoying, but without the charm. And so halfway through tonight, I was just like, God damn it. Can you guys stop this shit? And I will say for me that they did take away, they were getting distracting. They had Snoop Dogg there as a guest commentator. I'm going to be real. Snoop Dogg was great. I was shocked. You know, as high as Snoop Dogg was, and you know, he was, Snoop was chilling. Snoop was having fun. And he actually added this level of fun to the match that I actually really appreciated. It was very eye-rollingly hilarious to see that we got a special guest referee in Bubba Ray Dudley, which makes all the shit he's been talking about AEW on Busted Open Radio make so much sense, because he signed to WWE, so why would he give AEW any sort of credit? He didn't need to be there. It was, you know, they're in Philadelphia, the birthplace of ECW, so I guess it makes sense, but, you know, whoop-de-doo. At the end, I did think what was pretty funny is that Lashley went ahead and hit his spear. Angela Dawkins and Montez Ford went ahead and did some Dudley boys moves and taunts, including getting the table. That was a cool spot. But in the end, the Pride, Lashley, Ford, and Dawkins went ahead and picked up the win. Ford has the best frog splash in the industry right now, and the height that he got on it was fucking absurd. He hit the frog splash through a table on Cross. It didn't overstay its welcome. It was just long enough. I think it was maybe about 12 minutes, but it was a fun match. I would give it a solid B-. I enjoyed it though, but it was a fun match. That was what I was going to bring up. Paul Ellering. Actually, never mind. I lost my train of thought. It's fine. But yeah, it was a fun match. So yeah, solid B-. Moving on to the next match, we had LA Knight versus AJ Styles. So my big gripe on this is AJ Styles. AJ Styles and LA Knight. I really thought LA Knight should have been fighting. Really should have been fighting Logan Paul for the United States Championship. I think that was a misstep on the Mania card. But it felt like Styles and Knight kind of knew that they were, I don't want to say the filler match, but that people weren't expecting a lot from the match. And so they kind of went, okay, we're going to go ahead and show out here. And this was probably my biggest surprise between both nights. I thought this was a really great match. I was really happy watching this match. LA Knight came out. He looked like a superstar. The crowd was right there with him doing the LA Knight. Yeah. Like anytime he hit a punch on Styles, they went, yeah. Like the crowd, that 10 degrees or so made a ton of difference, because this crowd was a lot more lively and a lot more awake. And it was really fun. It was a really fun match. Styles went ahead and worked Knight's knee for a lot of the match to go ahead and set up the calf crusher. Let me take a sip of my beer here real quick. That's the stuff. But in the end, including one move that I really liked is LA Knight hit this ridiculous super release German suplex off the top rope, which Styles sold like death. It looked perfect the way that he did a full rotation before he landed on his face. It looked great. But in the end, LA Knight went ahead and got the win with the blunt force trauma. This was really fun. This was a really fun match. And AJ Styles, he's starting to wind down his career. I get that. I know LA Knight is kind of on the ascent. So with a match result that occurred later in the night, which I'll get to in a moment, it does feel like LA Knight is being poised to go ahead and challenge for the United States Championship. I really dug this match. This was a very pleasant surprise. I'd give this a solid B. Really enjoyed this match. Really enjoyed it a lot. But yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot of fun. The one thing I will say, and I talked about this last night, the advertisements are getting horribly distracting for WWE. I know WWE is sports entertainment. I understand they hate the word wrestling, even though they actually used it a couple times tonight, which I was shocked by. But anytime that they were doing like a wide out, like a wide shot of the ring, you'd see the Slim Jim logos that are all over the place because LA Knight is one of the spokespeople for Slim Jim. And it was just very distracting. It's like, God damn it, y'all. Like, we get it. It's Mania. But like, fuck, can you stop with this shit? Can you stop with this shit? But it was still a really, really good match. Solid B. With that said, we had the triple threat for the United States Championship. Logan Paul, gag, versus Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton for the United States Championship. Kevin Owens coming out with some ECW inspired attire. I thought that looked fucking great. I'm a huge Kevin Owens fan. Going back to his Kevin Steen days, Randy Orton. While I'm not crazy about Orton as a performer, I think he is a very smooth performer, and there's definitely been times where I've been very high on Orton. And Logan Paul, like, yeah, the Paul brothers suck. They both suck. I can't stand either one of them. And apparently Prime, like, I will never drink a Prime as long as I live. It just looks like, I smelled a Prime one time. I was like, oh God, this smells like shit. But also, you know, Logan Paul is a big old scammer, but credit where it's due, man, he's really good in the ring. And I hate that he's so good in the ring already. If he sticks with this, he could really be something. But he went ahead and came out on a Prime truck and was like, shot this Prime cannon, which I could not roll my eyes at. Like I know you're supposed to hate Logan Paul, but goddamn, he's just like leaning into it like a motherfucker. The story of this match was basically who's going to pin Logan Paul, because Owens and Orton were going ahead and taking turns just beating the crap out of this guy. So it really was resembling more of a handicap match. And then there's this one point where I think it was Orton went to go pin Paul, and Owens kind of looked at him like, wait a minute. And then they kind of started having this conversation of, oh, you know, we know that only one of us can win, but, you know, I thought we were going to delay that. And then Orton tried to RKO Owens from nowhere, and Owens just had this look on his face like, motherfucker, like, I know your game. Like, I know how you do this. And then the match broke down. Again, a match that didn't overstay its welcome, but it had some really funny moments. It had some really creative offense. I can't think of who the guy's name is. It's some like streamer. He was in the stupid Prime bottle, and Randy Orton ended up RKOing him. No, Logan Paul is not my fave. Why did you just come on here to troll? Credit to Logan Paul, man. The end of the match was actually really well done. Orton ended up getting hitting Owens with a frog splash, with a RKO. He hit Logan Paul with an RKO. But he ended up hitting Owens with it, and Paul ended up throwing Orton I show speed, whatever. I don't know who he is. He ended up hitting an RKO on him, which was great. I show speed, that's the streamer, I was just informed, but he was barking at Orton, and so Orton barked back at him and RKO'd him on the table. That was really funny. But in the end, Orton ended up RKOing Owens, being thrown out of the ring, and Logan Paul hit this pretty nice looking frog splash. I gotta give him props on it, and Paul was able to retain. Solid B+. Really enjoyed this match. With what I think is coming, because I do think we're gonna get LA Knight versus Logan Paul, maybe even that Backlash. That's gonna be a match in France. Overseas, so maybe you do the title change there, but really, really good triple threat match. I enjoyed this a lot. Moving on, we had I don't think I'm missing anything. we had Io Sky, who I fucking love Io Sky so much. We had Io Sky against my future ex-wife Bailey. Bailey came out with this like very Egyptian type entrance, which was really fucking cool. I really enjoyed it. Io Sky, she's a star, man. Through no fault of her own, kind of similar to Rhea Ripley, I don't think they've done a great job of booking Io as the champion, even though she's had some good matches during her reign. She had a match on SmackDown a couple months ago, I heard, with Mia Yim, that apparently was really good. But yeah, Io Sky, I just don't think she's been booked great as a champion. But Bayley, winner of the Royal Rumble, I was really curious if they're going to give her moment. I know I've talked about this on the show before whenever I've talked wrestling, but Sasha Banks, now Mercedes Moné, and Bayley, they really were the MVPs during the Thunderdome era when there weren't fans allowed at WWE shows. Bayley has been one of the best performers WWE has had for years, back to her NXT days. For those of you who aren't familiar with women's wrestling, please look up Bayley versus Sasha Banks NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. It's still maybe the best women's match I've seen in my life. It's fucking incredible. It's easily the best WWE women's match that they've put on. That match is fucking incredible still. I actually watched it maybe a month ago. It still holds up. So I was curious. And, you know, I was curious to see. I do love Bayley, and we trying to say why I love Bayley. But at the end of the night, this was an awesome match. This felt personal. It started off slow, I would say, but it definitely went ahead and took its time to build up. Bayley, who got her leg, who had surgery on her leg a couple years ago, Io took advantage of that. She was just working that leg, and it was actually really well done. One of the spots that I love is that Io did kind of a variation of the figure four on the ring apron. I think that spot can normally look pretty crap, but the way that they did it looked really painful and convincing. Bayley ended up hitting a Bayley to belly for a really close two count. Before I get too much further into it, I have to point out the promo package that they did before the match to kind of catch you up on everything was super well done. It was set to my other future ex-wife, Hayley Williams of Paramore, her song Simmer. Fucking great promo package. I love that promo package. So love the way they actually set this match up. Bayley ended up hitting the Bayley to belly for a really close two count. Io ended up eventually hitting her moonsault, got a really close two count, like 2.8. They actually got me to bite on that. But in the end, Bayley went ahead and hit her finisher, dropped Io right on her head. And the way she sold, the way that Io sold it, there was this like delayed reaction to when she hit her head on the canvas that looked fucking excellent. But in the end, Bayley is your new women's champion. I was so happy for her. Io actually busted out her double German suplex, where she went ahead, goes ahead and Germans you, and then rolls through it, and then hits another German. That's one of her old moves from Stardom. It was really cool to see that. They gave them time. I think this match probably went about 15, 16 minutes, but it was a really great match. And I don't know if I like it more than Rhea Becky. I'd probably have to go back and watch both matches back to back, but really enjoyed this match. It's an A- for me. Really enjoyed this. And real quick, I got to shout her out just because she's been where she's just been amazing. Samantha Irvin, the WWE's main ring announcer, she's fucking excellent. And the amount of emotion that she puts into her ring announcing, it makes these matches feel epic. It makes them feel important. Like, it's a subtle thing, but that level of presentation, even with all the distracting shit that WWE can do sometimes, that just makes me roll my eyes. I love Samantha Irvin just for how passionate she gets in these matches, and it really felt epic. And Bayley getting her win in front of fans on a big stage like WrestleMania, well fucking deserved. I'm so happy for Bayley, and I'm so happy she got this moment. But yeah, I would give this a solid. I'd probably go solid A. I'd go solid A on this. Really enjoyed this. And then we were on to the main events. Cody Rhodes for the second year in a row, challenging for the WWE Universal Championship against Roman Reigns. Okay, so I got a lot of shit last year from WWE morons who were trying to convince me that Cody losing last year was the right decision. I will go to my grave saying it was not the right decision. I think Roman Reigns had that title for way too goddamn long. It bothered me how long he had the championship, because considering how much Brock Lesnar is a liability to that company right now, considering what he's been accused of, he was a part-time champion, and then Roman Reigns ended up becoming a part-time champion. That's why they developed that whole other fucking championship for Seth Rollins to win, because Roman Reigns was never around. But credit where it's due to Roman Reigns, he felt like a final boss. And again, to the detriment, I would say, at points to the roster, because he was just plowing through everyone. It takes a lot, especially for me, as someone who's been watching wrestling for almost 30 years. It takes a lot for me to get invested in a long title reign. Like, I think a year is about where you should cap most title reigns. And I actually think that most title reigns don't need to be even that long. I think 6 months is kind of the sweet spot for a lot of title reigns. When I think about long title reigns, I think reigns for like 2 years, I was feeling it. I think about Samoa Joe and Ring of Honor, who had the Ring of Honor championship for a couple years. Kenny Omega recently, who had the AEW championship for a year. Shawn Michaels, his first run with the WWE championship, that was about 9 months. CM Punk's his first WWE championship reign was like 400 plus days, like 432 days, something like that. It's not often that I get invested in a title reign for that long. So, but with that said, I will be the first to admit I had this very big fear going into this match that, okay, last year felt like the time to crown Cody as the new guy. And when they didn't do it last year, I was fucking angry, because as an AEW fan, it sends that message of, oh, you came from competition, we're not going to reward you, even when it makes complete and total fucking sense. Even when our audience has shown, hey, they actually naturally gravitate towards you, why wouldn't you make the change now? And I was really concerned that over this past year that the crowd would just kind of turn on Cody. And I don't think WWE planned this, because I don't think they're that smart. But I got to give Cody and the fans credit. The fans never turn on Cody. Even through some, I would say, some questionable booking, he had a feud with Brock Lesnar that I don't think hit nearly as hard as they were expecting it to. But Cody persevered, and he kept going, and he found ways to stay fresh and to still engage with the audience. I had a couple friends who went to a house show in Texas, I want to say last year, and they talked about how Cody was there for like an hour signing autographs for fans after the show ended. It's like, at the Royal Rumble press conference, when Triple H got asked about Vince McMahon, Cody gave a better response about the Vince McMahon allegations than Triple H did. I was like, holy shit, this guy just gets it. So going into this match, I was sitting there going, All right, WWE. Like, WWE loves to WWE. And I said this on the stream last night. Sometimes they just like to swerve and do shit for the sake of doing shit. I will never forget WrestleMania 19. Triple H against Booker T. You know, Triple H for weeks was calling Booker T boy and telling him to grab his bags and tell him to tap dance for him and saying, you know, shit like, someone like you who looks like you doesn't get to be world champion. And so all logic would dictate, oh yeah, Triple H, the racist, will fucking lose to Booker T. And then he didn't. He lost to Triple H off of a pedigree that took him 30 seconds to make the pin. Like, it still sticks in my craw because it was such a bafflingly dumb fucking decision. And so going into this match, I will be the first to admit, I went, oh God, they're going to pull this shit again. They're going to fuck this up. And I watched Cody and Roman's first match this morning. Do I think this match was better than last year's match? No, not really. But was this more of a spectacle? Absolutely. So because of what happened last night with The Rock and Roman beating Cody and Seth Rollins, we got bloodline rules for this match, which just means anything goes. And so there were a couple moments. There's this one spot in particular. Yes, the power of racism is strong, Afternoon Tune. There's this one point where Roman was talking shit. And that is one thing about his character that I have really liked as far as him being a heel, as far as him being the tribal chief. He flat out told Cody that he's going to send his ass to Hollywood and that he was going to make him his bitch and that he didn't belong here. And as Roman was talking that shit, I was like, damn, this is how a heel should operate. Like, I love that. I actually love the way that he was talking that shit. But they actually wrestled a more traditional wrestling match for, I would say, the first half. And then, of course, it ended up breaking down. This match right here shows exactly why The Rock should not be wrestling in a main event at WrestleMania, in a one-on-one capacity, because Cody and Roman, like, it felt like they were definitely shackled last night and they were trying just not to get hurt to make sure they could get to this match. And so when they did, they were able to go ahead and show out. Cody went for a Cody cutter. Reigns caught him in midair, hit him with a power bomb. Beautiful fucking spot. Cody went ahead and got power bombed through a table at one point. Cody went ahead and speared Roman through the barricade. That was a great looking spot. Some really hard hitting shit. Reigns hit this one Superman punch where Cody made this adjustment where he like turned his face at the very last second so Reigns could get a better look at it. It was a very subtle detail, but that's how much of a pro Cody is. Absolutely fucking great moment. There was a point where Reigns hit Cody's own finisher on him. I love when wrestlers do that. I love when a wrestler will hit their opponent's finisher on him. But Reigns hit Crossroads on Cody, got a very close two, and he looks over at his wise man, Paul Heyman, and even says, like, that move doesn't pin anybody. That move doesn't beat anybody. I just want to see if I could do it. And in that moment when he said that, I was like, oh, he's going to lose. I was like, okay, that's the confirmation that Reigns is losing. But it was a very fun spot. With that said, there were some really fun false finishes. Cody hit one Crossroads. Reigns was able to kick out. But then, of course, the match broke down. Jimmy Uso came out, hit Cody with a super kick, which went ahead and brought out main event Jey Uso. They went ahead and brawled up the ramp. Jimmy went ahead and speared his brother off the stage through some tables that are sitting at ringside. That was a great fucking spot. Cody ended up hitting two Crossroads. He went to hit the third one, and just like last year, Solo Sikoa came out, hit the Samoan Spike, got a very close two count on that. And then... Reigns and Solo hit the spear Samoan spike combination, which actually looked really clean. That got a very close two count. Just as Solo and Reigns were revving up to go ahead and double team Cody again, we hear John Cena's music. John Cena, the last time he wrestled, was taken out by Solo Sikoa, so it made sense for him to come out to the ring. He goes ahead and runs down, hits Solo with an attitude adjustment through an announcer's table, comes back in the ring, hits one on Reigns. So as Cena's standing in the ring, we hear The Rock's music, and I was like, oh my gosh, The Rock's coming out. And you know, the last time that Cena had a one-on-one match at Mania, it was against The Rock, and he beat The Rock last time for the championship, that they last time they went one-on-one. So John Cena does the "you can't see me" motion. Rock hits him with rock bottom. Probably dropped 3 or 4 F-bombs in a row. Like, Peacock was actually on it tonight. They actually caught each one, so credit to them. That was actually really funny that they were actually on the sensor this time. And then all of a sudden the lights go out. We hear the Undertaker's gong. And the Undertaker just shows up in the ring. Hits The Rock with a... let's call it what it is. It was a shit-looking choke slam. Not quite Hulk Hogan at Judgment Day, but it was a bad fucking choke slam. I don't know if Stone Cold just was busy or he couldn't make the trip. I was hoping it was going to be Austin, not The Undertaker, but that was a cool spot. And so, yeah, you know, The Rock and The Undertaker, they've had a long rivalry throughout the years, so that was fun. But then we got back to business. We got back to one-on-one. And so that was cool. So then Seth Rollins comes out. Rollins comes out in his Shield gear. And one thing that I was always pissed off about with the Shield is that they always treated Roman like he was too cool for school with the Shield. You know, Dean Ambrose, now John Moxley in AEW, and Seth Rollins, you know, they had a rivalry for like a year over the breakup of the Shield, and Roman just moved on like it was no big deal. And so I appreciated Rollins coming out in the Shield guard, you know, the Shield attire, to kind of throw Roman off. And the fact that Roman finally was like, oh, I have a chair, fuck you, I'm going to get my revenge, and hit Seth with it, that momentary lapse in judgment ended up being the undoing for Reigns. Rollins goes, Cody goes ahead and grabs him, hits 3 crossroads in a row, and finally puts down Roman Reigns. After over 1,300 days, Cody Rhodes is your new Universal Heavyweight Champion. Overbooked as shit. Absolutely. Was it fun? Absolutely. I'd give it a solid A-. I would have given their match last year, if Cody had won, I would have given it an A. But this was fun. Roman did break the Undertaker streak. That was the other reason he probably showed up. But it was fun. It was a fun match, and very much a spectacle that WWE goes ahead and immerses themselves in. So with that said, I mean, going through the matches here just one more time, there wasn't a match I didn't like on here. I wasn't crazy about the cash-in. The street fight was fine. The Styles match was good. The triple threat was good. And then the last few matches really delivered. So, I mean, I'd give night 2 a solid A. So between the two nights, I think I gave night 1 a B-. I mean, this was a B+ Mania. I saw some people saying, like, this is the best Mania ever. Let's calm the fuck down. Like, it's not better than 19. It's not better than 17. But would I say this is, like, taking night 2 by itself? Like, if you take night 2 by itself, I think it's a top 5 Mania. But since it's two nights, it's harder to kind of gauge it. I mean, that would be something. Maybe I'll do that by the end of the year. Maybe I'll do a top 10. Maybe I'll review like my top 10 Manias or something like that. 32 is not the best ever. You are high. God, 32 is such a bad Mania. For those of you who don't remember, WrestleMania 32, isn't that Isn't that the one? Oh, yeah, that's the one with The Rock versus... That's the one with Reigns versus Triple H. You are high if you think that's the best one. But yeah, this was a really, really good Mania. I thought that night one left a good amount to be desired. I wasn't crazy about it, but they definitely picked it up here for night two. The crowd was more engaged. The commentary, though, goddamn, y'all. There's a point where I think it was Cody Graves asked Michael Cole, like, what does Bayley need to do to, you know, to win this match? And I think it was McAfee, actually, was like, Bayley needs to get rid of all the distractions and just concentrate. And I'm like, God damn it. How are you guys so bad at this? Like, this is the biggest event of the year. And you guys feel like you're sleepwalking through this shit. Maddening. But between the Triple H, the Paul Levesque era, which again, gag, eye roll, Stephanie being the one to do it, the Money in the Bank shit. Like, there was some stuff that really peeved me during tonight, like, to a point I almost want to drop this to a B plus, but credit where it's due to the performers. I thought they showed out, and unlike last year's Mania, I just wasn't sitting here thinking, God, I hate WWE. I hate WWE for a couple reasons, but not for the product tonight. So I'll give this an A-, I think, with the B. So it really averaged out to be about a B-plus Mania for me. For the people there, I hope y'all had fun. For people who watched it, I hope you enjoyed it. But yeah, it was a really good Mania. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, with new champions, with Damian Priest as the World Heavyweight Champion, with Cody Rhodes as a Universal Champion, with Bayley as your, you know, one of your women's champions. It's going to be very interesting to see how WWE follows up on everything. Backlash, as I mentioned, their next pay-per-view, which takes place in France, that's 3 weeks from Saturday. So it'll be interesting to see what that card looks like. I have no idea who you have, you know, challenge Cody. I don't think you have The Rock challenge at a fucking Backlash, but I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be interesting to see where things go. But yeah, with that said, I thought this was a really good show. Since I am not gonna be streaming tomorrow, since I did the stream now, I'm gonna go ahead and I will see y'all on Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific. I'm gonna be talking about 10 years of the Real Pineapple Podcast, talking about some of my favorite reviews and just some of my favorite moments. I'm excited to bring that to y'all. And then Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, I'll be reviewing Monkey Man and Heat. God damn it. No afternoon tune. Lesnar does not have to beat another black champion. Yeah, I'm being Cody. That would make so much sense. But I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to have reviews up for those for y'all. Excited to bring those to y'all. But everyone, I hope you have a great start to your week. Hope you have a good night. Hope you get some sleep. Hope you stay safe. Thank you again so much for joining me. I appreciate y'all. And never forget, as always, to keep it real. Have a great night, everybody. I'll talk to you later this week on Thursday.